Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament.
The first reading for the festival of the Reformation is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 14. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my words, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So, if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Happy Reformation Day. Well, all right, Reformation Day isn't really until Wednesday, but as is our tradition, we're celebrating it today on the last Sunday of October. And also, as has been our tradition this last church year, our text for contemplation this morning will be our epistle. Which is quite fitting, because in many ways, our epistle text for today speaks to the core reason that Martin Luther set about reforming the church. Luther really struggled with one question for much of his early life. And the question was this: how do I become righteous? It was his attempts at answering this question that led him to our text for today. And so it seems fitting that we also answer that question using the very same text that Luther used to come to the same conclusion. First, though, we should probably speak briefly of what it means to be righteous. You're likely familiar with the confirmation way of speaking about righteousness as being right with God. And that pretty much covers the idea. To be righteous is to have a good relationship with God. One where there are no sins, trespasses, iniquities, or any other blotches against you. To be righteous is to be perfect in God's eyes. With that in mind, therefore, let us consider as Luther did. How do we become righteous? Listen, as Paul speaks to us of that very righteousness that we seek. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. The first thing that Paul deals with here is he deals with the commonly held belief at the time of both Jews and, for the most part, other religions even, which is that you get your righteousness by following the law. This is, of course, speaking of God's law, not necessarily of culture's law. And that's what people thought. They thought that as long as you do the right thing and as long as you don't do the bad thing, that the righteousness will be yours, that you can earn your righteousness that way. But Paul here makes it clear that that's not the point of the law. The law isn't there to try and help us to earn our righteousness. The only reason that the law is there now is so that no human being will be justified in his sight. The point of the law is so that we can come to a knowledge of our sin. The point of the law now is so that we understand that we need righteousness, rather than thinking that we already have it. So that we can know that we have indeed sinned, that we have indeed fallen short of the glory of God. There is no way for us to get justification or righteousness through the law. No matter how hard we try, no matter how long we live, no matter how short we live, there is no way for us to receive the righteousness that we need by works. So then, if we can't do it through the law, if we can't do it by our own works, how then do we do it? How then do we get it? How do we become righteous? Paul continues. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This is what Jesus did for us. We talked already about how through the law, through the Ten Commandments, through the other 100 or so, 170-ish or something like that, I think, of the commandments in the Old Testament, not a single one of those is a way for us to receive righteousness. Every single one of them is there to tell us that we can't do it ourselves. Every single one of the commandments. The first one.
Wow, there's a brain fart.
You shall have no other gods. There we go. That one you break no matter what, especially when you forget the first commandment. Second one. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Even those silly little things where you put OMG on your texts. When you say, oh my God, when you tell somebody that God doesn't like them, or you even imply that, you hurt his reputation. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. When you don't think on the word, when you don't engage the word, when you just think that the word is just another book that you can just throw onto the shelf and not ever read. Honor your father and your mother. Whether you're a child and that means obeying them, or you're an adult and that means caring for them while still respecting them. You shall not murder. As Jesus tells us, means even that you can't get angry at people. You shall not commit adultery. Even looking at somebody with lust is enough to break it. You shall not steal. Acting in a way to get something in a dishonest way. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Talking with all your friends about what somebody did wrong in church today. Gossiping about the thing that somebody did 20 years ago that was 20 years ago. Instead of going to the person and dealing with them, going to every other person and spreading about how that first person did something wrong. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, his manservant, maidservant, ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Not being content, not being happy with what God has given you, and instead reaching out to get more because you want more. We've all broken every single one of those. Everyone has broken every single one of those at some point or another in their lives. We cannot earn righteousness through the law. But thanks be to God, because he has given us a way to get righteousness that's not through the law. And he hasn't given it just to us. He's given it to everyone. Notice, as he says here, that the righteous, that there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't earn salvation for only the believers. He didn't earn salvation for only those people that he liked, although he likes everyone, so there's that. He earned salvation for the world. Christ's sacrifice on the cross justified the entire world. Just as all have sinned, so also are all justified by Christ's action on the crucifixion. He does this by putting forward his own blood, by he himself being the Passover lamb, the innocent one, the only human being who actually did follow every single part of the law, the only person who actually was innocent in every way, allowed himself to be killed for us, allowed his blood to be shed for us. And he now offers the benefits of that justification. He offers the blessings that he earned to us.
And we can now receive those blessings through faith. This is why we reach out to people, because we recognize that Christ already died for them. That all that they need is faith, and faith will receive the gifts that God has given them. And we recognize that they cannot come to faith by themselves, just like we did not come to faith by ourselves. They need someone to tell them. They need someone to deliver the gifts that God has offered in His Word and His sacrament. And this is what we get to do. We get to be God's means of delivering His Word to people. God's means of reaching out and cleansing them with the water and the Word. God's means of handing over the very body and blood that was sacrificed on the cross. That way they can get these gifts. And that's the only thing that's stopping them from getting these gifts, is the lack of faith. We now switch in our reading from talking about our righteousness to talking about God's righteousness, which I don't know if we talk about enough. And so, we've talked about how we become righteous through Christ's sacrifice and through receiving it by faith. But what about God? How do we know about His righteousness? Listen, as Paul tells us. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance, He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Our God is a just God. And what that means is that it means that He cannot tolerate evil. That He will not let evil go on forever. But our God shows His righteousness in that He did tolerate it for a time. And in fact is still tolerating evil. Because He recognizes that if He didn't forbear those sins, if He didn't look them over for the time being, that all of us would have been condemned. And that all people would have been condemned, except for His Son. Our God shows His righteousness in that He was willing to tolerate those former sins so that now He can create a way that we can be saved. This is God's righteousness. God's righteousness is that Jesus came and created a way for us to be saved apart from works. That He is tolerating the evil while He's waiting for as many people to receive faith and to receive the gifts that His Son earned for us as possible. So that He might not only be just, but that He might also be the justifier. That is, that He might not only be just, the one who is declaring right and wrong, but that He might also be the one who is declaring that we are saved. That we are His. And so, where is our boasting in this process? Is our boasting something that we can kind of grab onto and say, yes, I did this and that's why I'm going to heaven? Did you hear that mentioned anywhere in our scripture? The only thing that we do is mess it up. But thankfully, Christ continues to preach to us. He continues to come to us, offering the gifts, giving us his faith. Because we are no longer justified from the law, but rather by the law of faith. Which is to say that if you want to know whether or not somebody is going to heaven, the standard is whether or not they have faith. That's the law. If somebody has faith, if they receive the gifts that God is offering, then they are saved. And if somebody does not have faith, if they refuse the justification that Christ earned for them, if they refuse the gifts that God is trying to give to them, then they will be condemned by the law. When Luther realized this, that we are justified not by the works of the law, but instead by faith, everything changed. His whole life changed. He found out that his eternal destination was assured, that he didn't have to earn his salvation, that everything that needed doing had already been done for him by Jesus. And the same is true for you. Christ died on the cross for you just as much as he died for Luther. Our text made it clear that just as all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, so also have all been justified by his blood. There is not one person who Jesus didn't die for. Not one. Now, all that remains is for as many people as possible to receive the benefits of this truth, to receive the gift of salvation that Christ earned, to receive the truth and the gift that God is trying to give to all people. Once Luther realized this truth, that God's grace was free, that it was for everyone, and that Jesus truly wanted everyone to be with him, Luther dedicated his life to sharing this wonderful truth with as many people as he could. This is why we celebrate this man in the Reformation. Because of the truth that they rediscovered, the truth of the gospel. That God loves you. That God wants you. That Christ died for you. All to make sure that you could be with him forever. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.